Is Daf Lamed. So let's take the last three lines of Chaf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara was talking about various shirum of different types of foods. What works for Erev Tchumim, for setting up Shnei Sudos for Erev Tchumim. And the Gemara had last said the Indian of Basar, that Basar Chai, raw meat. So you need enough to raw meat to eat it by itself. And if it came to Basar Tzli, if it came to roasted meat, so the Gemara there had presented a machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef, whether or not Basar Tzli was based on eating it along with bread, how much would need it for two meals, or Rav Yosef based on how much you would eat it plain. That was a machlokas. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yosef, again, three lines, last three lines of Chaf Tesam and Beis. Amar Rav Yosef Mina Aminala, how do I know, Rav Yosef, how does he know that it's how much the shear of meat that one eats from the meat itself, not with bread? So he quotes, Dehani Parsai Achli Tavhaki Belo Nahama, that the Persians would eat the meat without bread. They'd have meat straight, like we would eat Basar Tzli. Most of us probably eat steak without bread. You know, once in a while you have a steak sandwich, but most of the time we eat steak without bread. So just like in Persia, they'd eat the steak, the meat without the bread. So too, that's the shear used for Erev Tchumim. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Abai, Abai says back to Rav Yosef, Uparsai Havi Ruba Da Alma. Since when do the Persians become the rove, that we go based on the rove? Apparently the rest of the world eats meat with bread, so we should go based on the sheer meat needed for a bread meal, not when eating it by itself. And he goes on to question this based on a mission of a Hatnan. The mission tells us that Bigdei Anim Lanim Ubigdei Ashirim Lashim. What it's referring to is that certain size cloths, they're makabel tuma, begadim are makabel tuma, so it has to be a certain shear that's worthwhile that a person could use. So when it comes to a big de'anim, if we look at the last two Rashis on the page here, big de'anim, shalosh al shalosh, makablin tuma lanim, shalosh al shalosh, when it comes to the size of the three etzbos, three finger legs, which is pretty short, 3 by 3 fingers, for aniyim, that's the shear for big de'anim, but when it comes to big de'ashirim, it's shalosh al shalosh tfachim, it's three fistfuls, that's a bit bigger. So for an ani, they're able to use a cloth that's tiny. For an asher, it has to be a little bit bigger to be significant. So that's what the Mishnah says. And then, going on to now, daf lamed, aval, when it comes to bigdei ashirim lanim lo. But bigdei ashirim for anim don't work. What that means is, they don't need it. For anim, in other words, they don't need the size, the big size of the ashirim. A bigdei anim is enough to be makabel tuma for an ani. So just look at Rashi to fill in the blank here. Rashi writes on the top of Daf Lamed about Bigdei Ashirim Lanim Lo. Kolomer Lanim Lo Ba'inan Bigdei Ashirim. For a poor person, they don't need a big cloth, the type of cloth that would be used by an usher. Elakevan Dilidhu Chazi Azubasrayo. Since for the Ani, that size of Begit is significant for them, that's considered a Kli, that's considered a Begit. Hachanami here as well. Afagav de leparsai lav liftanu. Since for Persians they don't use meat for bread, kevan de ledun havi liftan. Since for the Persians, that community, they have meat without bread, niske b'shir zut. It's enough to have a smaller shear. So we see from all this that the Abai is challenging Rava, that we say that the smaller shear, again, that even though for Persians it wasn't bread, but for them it's good enough bread. Here too, as well, we should rely on a smaller shear for big day aniyim. So the Gemara says, V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, no, hachal chumra, v'hachal chumra. We only say this concept that we follow the small shear when it comes to l'chumra. Rashi explains, what's the chumra? Hachal chumra, d'chem d'chazel l'hu mekabli tumo. Since for anim, that size shear is significant, it's mekabli tumo, which is a chumra. Hachal chumra here as well, when it comes to the shear of Erev Tchumim, hachal chumra, d'ad d'havi liftan l'chuyama libay shear rabba. Until you've amounted to the shear of the rabbim, of the larger shear, also we have to follow the Persians, that small community, because it's l'chumra of requiring a larger shear for Erev Tchumim, for it to work for Erev Tchumim. But the Gemara says, it's not true. We don't always say follow the small shear when it comes to chumras. We have an example that the Gemara is about to bring, that even lakula, we will follow the smaller shear, the smaller group of people. As the Gemara says, v'hatanya, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, ma'arvin lakula ulezakin kidei mizono. When it comes to a chola or a zakin, even though they have a smaller shear, we will follow what they normally have. A chola eats very little. Most people don't eat as little as a chola. But for the chola, if he's setting up an Erev, we can rely on whatever shear he eats, on a small shear for his suda. When it comes to the Rav Asam, when it comes to a person who's very, very hungry, however, besud the bainus, even though he eats a tremendous amount, we don't require the din of chumrah of having going based on his personal shear on a larger shear. He goes based on a bainus shakaladim. He could go based on the average person's size meal, not based on his own meal. So you see, even though sometimes a person does have a larger shear, a different shear, and we don't say based on his normal use, we go based on the standard use, we say go based on the lower shear and takasha. In other words, what the Gemara says from here, if you look at Rashi to put everything together, Rashi v'hatanya, gavi eruv, dechevin dechazi lezakin lechola, even since his eruv is fit for a zakin, and lechola, avagav dechol adam lohavi mazon shtei sudas, even though for me and you, the average guy, this would not fill us up in two meals, ma'arvin meal lehaman dechazi, you are able to make an eruv for whoever this is a meal that's fit for that size. The Gavi Rav Asan, the guy who eats a tremendous amount, the guy who overindulges, the Achel Tfei, Sagi Bebenis, but he eats a tremendous amount. We don't say, oh, you eat a lot, you're a big guy, you need a bigger shear. No, we say it's enough to go based on the smaller shear, Alma Lekula Azlinan. So it's not so clear cut that we always follow what the average person does, Bein Lechumra, Bein Lekula. Gemara ends off that discussion that way. So now the Gemara says, Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon, back inside five lines down, Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Hachi. Does Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar really say this? Does he really say this din of that a person who eats a lot, it's enough for him to have an average shear? Adam Beinoni is enough for him. So a guy eats, six slices of pizza, we don't need to have that size of Shtei Mizonos. It's enough for him to have the average guy who eats one or two slices, that's a meal. But does he really say we go based on the Adam Beinoni? Vatanya Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer Og Melcha Bashon Pischo Kimilo. So they're a completely different topic now when it comes to Tumas Ohel. The way it works is when there's a mace in the house, so the mace, now we assume that the biggest entrance, exit, that's the way the mace is going to go out, and he's only metame that entrance way, that exit. But any other window, we just assume it doesn't go out. But let's say all the windows are of equal size, so we don't know which window the mace is going to be taken out of the bias. So since each Pesach, each Chalon, has a potential to exit that house, we view all of them being tame. So just look at Rashi to make this clear, hopefully. Rashi says, Pischo Kimilo. That in order for Og Melcha Bashan, for that exit to be a Pesach, has to be the size of Og, who is huge, to fit outside that exit. So Rashi explains, Lahatzil al Sharp Sachem. In order for the other windows to be saved, there has to be one entranceway or exit to be big enough to allow Og to be taken out when Og died. Vileka Pesach de Chazilei, if there is no exit large enough to take Og Melcha Bashan out of the house, we assume Kol Achor Malek Egrof, any hole that you can fit your hand through, meaning any tiny hole, Shibik Solem, Tamem, they're all Tame. So in other words, again, if there's a mace in the house, so if all of them are equal size, we assume it can leave any entranceway, exit, and they're all Tame. All the windows are Tame. But if there's one that's really big, which makes it easier to go out, we assume the mace is going to go out that bigger entranceway, and you save all the windows. So the Gemara says, well, oh, Melcha Bashan was huge. He was a big guy. So even if you have one window that's a little bit bigger than the others, it's not going to save the other windows unless that one window or exit is huge, big enough to be the size of Og Melcha Bashan. What we see from here is we don't go based on the average guy, the Beinoni. We go based on the specific size of who we're dealing with. So how come by Eiv Tumim we say the guy is a big guy, he's Og Melcha Bashan, he eats so much, we don't go based on what he eats. We go based on the average guy. But by the Tumas Meis we say no, we go based on how big the guy actually is. We don't go based on the Adam Beinoni. So the Gemara says back, the case of Og Melcha Bashan and the mace in the Ohel, Abai says, Hasam Heichad Le'avid. What else can you do? Hadume Nahadme Nafke. Rashi says, are you going to cut up Og Melcha Bashan in different limbs and take them out one by one? When it comes to Tumas Mace, we need Halacha L'maisa. How are you going to take him out of the house? How will you extract him from the house? So there you need L'maisa, a big enough exit to take Og Melcha Bashan out. So Mace Boel, that's based on actual size. When it comes to setting up Erev Tumim, you don't need the guy to actually eat the meals. You just need to be Koveya a Suda. So Suda doesn't have to be based on what I eat. It goes based on what the average guy would eat, but it's not that I'm going to actually eat the meals. Right, when a guy sets up Erev Tumim before Shabbos to go walk from there another 2,000 amos, we don't say when he gets there, eat your meal and then walk to 2,000 amos. All it does is establish it, you extended your borders, and you need a Koveya Shtei Sudos, but you don't have to actually eat it. So therefore, there's a difference of setting up an Erev Tchumim versus taking a mace outside the bias. Gemara now wants to know, Ibari Lahu, Pligi Rabbanan Aleh, the Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar, Aleh. The Gemara only presents the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but they want to know now, do the Rabbanan argue with respect to the mace babayas? Well, do they agree to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that a big person like Og Melech HaBashan, it only saves the windows if the Pesach is kimlo, like the size of Og Melech HaBashan? Or do they argue that even by Og Melech HaBashan, it's sufficient to have a Beinoni, an average-sized window? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Dama Rabba, Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Og Melech HaBashan, Pischo Barba. So the Bryce that says it's enough to have a window that's 4x4 tefachim, even if Og Melech HaBashan were to be dead inside, now Og could certainly not fit through a 4x4 tefach window, yet we still see he will save the other windows. So if you have a house with windows, and there's one window a little bit larger that's 4x4 tefachim, even if you have a very big guy inside the house, we assume he's going to go through the 4x4 tefachim house, window. Why? That's not the size of the mace. So we see that clearly there is an opinion of Rabbanan who argue on Rav Moshe ben Elazar, you go based on the average size body, not the actual body size. And the Gemara says, not true. Hasam, the reason why we assume that Og Melech HaBashan will exit through that Pesach of 4x4, not because he fits through that Pesach 4x4, but if you're going to have to open up a window, which size window will you open? The small windows or the larger windows? Of course, if you have a larger window that's already large, you'll make that larger one even larger to get the body out of the house. That's the idea, but not to say he's going to, it's big enough. So that's what the Gemara says. Hasam, Dika Pesachim Ketanim Tuva. In the second Brisa, there are many small windows. Vikechad, they're all the windows are small, but there's one that's a little bit bigger. Ikechad, Davi Arba, the one that's 4x4 tefachim. Devada ki kamarvich, bahi kamarvich. If you're going to expand one of the windows, you're certainly going to expand the one that's already bigger than the other ones, and that's why we're assuming. Meaning, even the Tanakhama will, even Rabbi Shimon Elazar will agree, if you have a house, and there's one window bigger than the other ones, so of course you're going to make that one bigger, and that will save the other entranceways. Okay, back to Erev Tchumim, a little bit easier topic. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav. Ma'arvin bebasar chai. We paskin that you're allowed to use raw meat to make an Erev. And we said this yesterday, because back in the times of Gemara, they would eat raw meat. It was very common. Nowadays, it's very uncommon. Yes, you'll go to a restaurant, they'll serve whatever it's called in the French word. You'll tell me what it is. But they have this raw meat you can eat, but it's certainly not common. But back then, it was common, so they could make an Erev with it. It wouldn't be muksa on Shabbos to touch raw meat. Bezman is that we assume raw meat is muksa. You shouldn't touch it unless you really need something behind it. Then you'd be allowed to use it, because of the times of Gemara, basar chai was edible. But then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, Ma'arvin Bebeitzim Chayos. You're allowed to also use raw eggs. That's allowed because even though nowadays we frown upon people who eat raw eggs because it's a person gets salmonella or whatever you get from it, it could be sick. We don't eat raw eggs for the most part. Back then it was very common. You have to go back to the times of Gemara. You know, 10 years ago it was very acceptable. Many athletes have raw eggs. People who sing like that have raw eggs. It certainly is edible. So one can eat or drink raw eggs and therefore set it up as an Erev Tchumim. Kama, how many do you need? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Sinai Amar Shnayim. Sinai was always a reference to Rav Yosef. The Gemara has a machlokas, the end of Brachos, end of Horios. Is Oker Harim better, or is Sinai better? Oker Harim means the ability to learn lumdis, ask questions and answer questions. Sinai just having a wide breadth of all of knowledge. Rav Yosef was Sinai. He had an incredible memory until he lost his memory when he was older. He knew everything, you know, the breadth of all of Torah. So he was Sinai. He said, Shnayim, you need two eggs to set up an Erev Tchumim. So an interesting question the Chuvas Besamim Rosh asks. There's a Gemara in Pesachim that says, Zugos are dangerous. To have two cups of wine, or four cups, anything that's a multiple, or an even number, a multiple of two, is dangerous. So how could you have a Erev Tchumim of Shtayim? Isn't that Zugos? Two pairs of eggs, that's Zugos. How is that allowed? So Besamim Rosh says, the Gemara in Pesachim itself says, the only time Zugos pairs are dangerous, if you're makbid on it being dangerous to you. But if you're not makbid, you don't care about it, then it actually won't affect you. So therefore, apparently, it's referring to a person who wasn't makbid on Zugos, it's fine. The Rashash raises this question, though. So he says, I don't understand the question. It's only Shtei Zugos when you're having two cups of wine in the same meal. Shtei Beitzim, remember, every Tchumim was Shtei Zugos. Each item was meant for a separate meal. So two eggs, really meaning having one egg in the morning and one egg in the afternoon. It wasn't meant to be eaten together. It's not Zugos. It's really one egg in the morning, one egg in the afternoon. There's not even a Shiloh, he says. And the third answer brought down by the Nemuke Grib in the back of the Gemara, he says, because Zugos are only dangerous when you're not involved in a mitzvah. But Rav Yosef himself, who is Sinai, is a reference to Rav Yosef, he paskins you could only make an Erev Tchumim if it's a Dabar Mitzvah. I can't set up an Erev Tchum if I want to just go for a stroll for Davar Rishus. It has to be a Davar Mitzvah. So by the definition, there's a case of a Mitzvah, since Sinai is the author, the Baal Meim of the statement. And when it comes to Davar Mitzvah is Pater. There's no Ein Nizikin, right? If people are involved, Shlichei Mitzvah, Ein No Nizokin. A person who's doing a Mitzvah is not subject to any danger. So since he was setting an Erev up for the purpose of a Mitzvah, he's exempt from any concerns of Zugos. Okay, the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. We're going to go the rest of the Amud here about making a neder. The Gemara quoted in the Mishnah a couple days ago, Hanoder min hamazon muter b'mayim u'melech. A person who makes a neder, they won't have any mazon, anything that fills me up, he's allowed to have water and salt, mayim u'melech. Because water and salt don't fill a person up, they're not called mazon. So the Gemara says, melech u'mayim hudelo ikri mazon. Water and salt is not called mazon. Ha kol mili ikri mazon. Everything else is called mazon. Five grains, fruit, vegetables, everything else is mazon. Water and salt are the only things that are not called mazon. So the Gemara says, is that really true? Lema tevek tiyufta d'Rav Shmuel. Let's say that this Mishnah now is a tiyufta to what Rav and Shmuel said. The Rav Shmuel, Damri Tervaya, both of them hold, ein mevarchin borei minei mizonos ela al chameshes haminim bilvad. We have that we paskin this way, that you only say a borei minei mizonos on the five grains. Meaning that only the five grains are mazon, mizonos, and everything else is not mazon. So we see that Rav and Shmuel goes against the Mishnah, because our Mishnah says everything is mazon except for water and salt is not. But Shmuel and Rav say only the five grains are mazon. So we see clearly the Mishnah goes against Rav and Shmuel, or Rav and Shmuel go against the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, V'lav osvino chadazimna. Did we not already ask a question from another Braisa on Rav and Shmuel? So why are we asking another one? So Gemara says, okay, inachanami, lema, tevi tiyufta, nami maha. So we have two Mishnayos that are a problem for Rav and Shmuel. Not a problem, no big deal. So the Rav and Shmuel go against two different Mishnayos that they say mazon's only five grains, and the Mishnayos say mazon includes everything with the exception of water and salt. So Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Huna, beomer, kol hazon alai, mai mumelechu de lozaina. Ha kol mile zaini. So really, there's a difference. To look at Rashi, when you say kol mazon versus kol hazon alai, what's the difference? So Rashi explains, you look at Rashi halfway down the Amud here, Bomer kol hazon alai. He says, Masnisin, our mission, Maseches Erevin, is da'asar le b'chol mile, lavd amar ye'asar alai mazon. Not where he said, mazon should be asar to me. Divadai lo mikri mazon ela chameshes aminim. When you say the word mazon, borei minei mizonos, everybody agrees, it refers to the five grains, that's it. Tavi min dagon dezini v'sadu libi. That fills you up. Aval ela kagon damar, yes, I alai kol hazan, it should answer to me, anything that satiates me, that's mashma kol davar. In other words, there's mazon versus kol hazan alai. Mazon refers to the chepsa, that which is a mazon. So mazon's only the five grains. Kol hazan alai, anything that fills me up, that includes everything. So our mission, Maseches Erevin, referring to when you made a neder, kol hazan alai, everything that fills me up a little bit, that includes every type of food except water and salt. But when you say kol hamazon, the actual chepta is a mazon, only the five grains is called mizonos. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara now says further, and my mumelach, ha kol mile design it. Is that really true? Everything else is really fills you up, gives you zon. Every food, vegetables, fruits, gives you a certain satisfaction. Even though it's not mazon, it's kol hazan. V'ha merabah bar barchana, kiava azlina basra edi Rabbi Yochanan, l'mecha peri diginosar. When I would follow after Rabbi Yochanan, they would walk to the area north in Tiberia, in Eretz Yisrael. They'd eat the famous fruits of Ginosar, these huge, delicious fruits. Kiavinam bei mea, when we were 100, Talmidim who went with Rabbi Yochanan, havi menaktinan l'cholchad v'chad asar. We each took 10, meaning there's like 1,000 fruits to choose from. So amongst 100 of us, we all took 10. Kiavinam bei asar, when we went as a group of 10 people only, havi menaktinan l'cholchad v'chad mea. We each took 100. Because there are 1,000 to split each time. So depending how many people took, that's how many fruits we took. And the 100 fruits couldn't fit in this big basket. They were massive fruits. We ate all the fruit because we couldn't take them back with us. We ate so much fruit with us. And Vamar, we said, I swear that I didn't taste any zan. I mean, I wasn't full from the fruits. So we see from here that kol hazan does not include fruits. So we just said above, mazon refers to only five grapes, kol hazan, five grains, kol hazan refers to all foods, but this is a testimony that he had these most delicious fruits in the world, and yet he said, I wasn't zan, I wasn't full. And the Gemara says, no, they made a shvua ema mizona. Granted, he was zon, he had some satisfaction, but it wasn't a mazon. So there's a difference between mazon and hazon. That's the difference. Now, there's an interesting marsha, by the way, on this discussion here of the Peres Ginosar, where he says this was actually the taina of the Meraglim. The Meraglim went up to Eretz Yisrael, and they came back and reported back. They said, you're right, the fruits there are delicious. Eretz is a vast club of divash. It's overflowing with milk and honey. But in the end of the day, it doesn't fill us up. We're not satisfied. And that apparently was a taina, Marsha says, based on this this particular Gemara. Okay, the Gemara now says further, last two narrow lines of the page here. Amrav huna amrav shvua shlo ochal kikarzu ma'arvin lo ba. Kikarzu a lie, however, ain marvin ba. If you say the lashon v'shvua that you're not going to eat this particular kikar, that's fine. You can make an erev tum because although I can eat it, I can give it to your friend. Just like we said before, I could set up a yayin. If I'm a nazir, I could set up yayin as my erev tumim. Although for me it's not fit, I could give it to my friend. So even though I made a shvua that this kikar isn't fit for me, also to me, I could give it to my friend to eat, and therefore it works as an erev. But if you use the lashon of kikar zu a lie, it's upon me. Ain Marvin Laba, that's not allowed. What's the difference? So Rashi explained that the lashon of kikar zu a lie is mashma kol davar hanasa kasar la. I can't get any benefit from it. It's not simply that I can't eat it, but I also can't get hana, which means I can't use it as erev tum. So that's a very important distinction. So the question is a difference between kikar zu versus kikar zu a lie. A lie is more machmir. So the Gemara now asks this based on the following brisa. It's meisivay. Hanodar mina kikar. A person makes a nether from a kikar. Marvin loba. You're allowed to use a kikar even though you made a nether that you can't eat it. You could use it to make an erev tchumim. My lav, damar a lie. Is it not where you said the kikar is a lie and yet still you could use it as erev? So that goes against what Rav just said above, Rav Huna said above. Of course, says, lo, the Bryce is talking about the Amar Zo. When you say Kikar Zo is usher to me, it's usher to me, but I could give it to my friend. But Eina Chanam, if I were to say a lie on me, it would be usher to make, to use as an Erev Tchumim.
Why a lie? You can still give it to your friend.
No, the Gemara says, I'm using getting Hana from Erev Tchumim. I cannot use it for an Erev Tchumim. That's Hana for me. So the Gemara then says, Ha Chanami Mestaber, this is also sensible to say this. Because the Katani Sefer, the Sefer says, Amosai, when is this shoe? When are you allowed to make an Erev with a kikar? Bizman, Shamar Shavua, Shlatimenu, where I'm not going to taste it, which implies I can't eat it, but I can use it to an Erev Tchumim. So, Aval, but if you say, Amar lie, if I say a lie, it would be Aser, Enechanami, it would be Aser to Ein Marvin Laba. So, Gemara says, if that's true, that there's a chilip between eating it and getting a hana from it, ihachi adetani kikarzu hektish. The Brisa goes on to say, if I say that kikarzu is not only a nether to me, but if I say kikarzu is hektish, that everybody agrees ain marvin lo ba lefish ain marvin bektashos. Because something as hektish is aser bana to everyone. No one can get hana from hektish. I can't even give it to my friend. So if I make something hektish, that certainly may not be used for erev. So the Gemara says, we know the Gemara's style all the time is, if once the Bryce is in the business of making distinctions, it should make another distinction. So once it makes a distinction between a neder versus a hektish, why not make another distinction? Liflog v'lisse bididei, b'med v'amar murim. When is it true that a neder on kikar may be used as an erev? D'amar zo. About Amr Alai, but if you say Alai, a Marvin Lobo. It should have made that distinction. Again, just like there's a distinction that Neder on a Kikar is allowed for an Erev, and Hektesh is Usur for an Erev, so we should say there's a distinction between Harezu versus Hare Alai. Why did they not make that distinction? So Amr Lach Rav Huna says, Elamai must be that the Brisa says that any Neder that you make on a kikar would be allowed for an erev tchumim. The kolhecha, the amar alai, even if you say hareze alai, you should still be ma'arvin, the erev should still work, and it would be a kasha reisha, goes against the reisha of the braisa. And the Gemara says, no. There's a chasur mechsura, the braisa is missing something very important here. V'hachi katani, what the braisa should really say is, hanoder mina kikar marvin loba. So this should be clear now. If I make a nether in a kikar, I could still use that kikar as an erev, because I could give it to someone else to eat. Vafilu amar alai, even if I say a lie, I can still use it as an Erev, because it's nasik omer shvua shalati amenu. It's as if I said, I make a shvua that I won't taste from it, implying that only an Isser achil is there, but not Isser hana. But mikom akum kasha, sorry, this implies that even Isser hana would be allowed. So mikom akum kasha, it's still a kasha, the Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, if I say hare alai, it's Usser. This brisa seems to say hare alai is mutter for an Erev tchumim. So the Gemara says, "Who damar k'Rabbi Eliezer?" Rav Huna holds like a different tana, meaning this price that we just clarified. Any nether, harezu, harealai, you could use of erev tchumim. Rav Huna holds like a different opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Sanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Shvua shelo ochal kikarzu, marvin laba, kikarzu alai, however, ein marvin ba. So that's the distinction. So the machlokas tanaim again, what is done by harezu alai. Harezu, everyone agrees, is mutter for erev tchumim. Harezu alai is machlokas tanaim, that's what the Gemara comes out with the same. So the Gemara then says, wait a second. Umi amar Rabbi Eliezer, how could this Rabbi Eliezer really say this? That if you say harezu alai, it's usher to make an erev. Vatanya, don't we have a klal? The Brisa says that klal adam osir atmo beochel, a person could asser himself from eating something through a nether, and marvin lo ba, he could use it as an erev. Ochel neser lo adam, a person who eats like that which is usher to him, if it's neser alai, ain't marvin lo ba. If he says harezu alai, which neser, the lashon neser, that lo adam, that's usher to use it as an erev. And comes along Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, he says, Kikarzu alai, marvin lo ba. He argues that what we said above, just above we said, Rabbi Eliezer says, Harei alai, doesn't work as an Erev. And this Brisa quotes Rabbi Eliezer, Harezu alai, does work as an Erev. So there's a steer of what Rabbi Eliezer actually says. And so Gemara just finishes off the Brisa and says, if you say Kikarzu hektish, that we already know, ain marvin lo ba, you can't use hektish as an Erev, the fish ain marvin mekdeshos, because hektish is usher to everyone. In the end of the day, we see that there's two opinions, what Rabbi Eliezer felt by Harezu alai, and the Gemara concludes, tre tanai valiba de Rabbi Eliezer. There are two tanaim, two opinions, what Rabbi Eliezer actually had said. So just to be clear, after all this, a little bit confusing in the Brisa, what comes out from all this is that by a hektesh, shadavar hektesh, you can certainly not make an erev tchumim. By nether, where you say harezu, by nether, everybody agrees you can make an erev tchumim. Machlokas is harezu alai, that's a machlokas tanaim, and there's another machlokas within Rabbi Eliezer, what he actually held, what his position was about harezu alai.
Does it have to actually be eaten?
No, just right, just right to eat. Not even right to him, right to someone to eat. Exactly. But you don't have to actually, when you get there, you don't have to actually eat it. So the Gemara now says, last couple lines here of Lamna, but off the rest of the page is a little bit easier now. The Gemara now says, Marvin le Nazir b'yayin. The Mishnah said you could make a Erev Tchumim with Yayin, even for Nazir. And for Yisrael, you could use Truma. Even though, of course, Yisrael can't eat Truma, you still can make an Erev, because even though it's not fit for him, it's fit for someone else, and therefore it's considered a Suda. So the Gemara says, Masnitz, our Mishnah is delo ki Beishamai. It cannot be like Beishamai. The Sani, the Brisa says, the Beishamai Omrim, Ein Marvin le Nazir b'yayin, uli Yisrael b'chuma. He felt that this was incorrect. A Nazir cannot use Yayin to make a Nazir, and Yisrael may not use Chuma to make a Erev Tchumim. So Beis Hillel Omrim, Ma'arvin le Nazir b'yayin, uli Yisrael b'chuma. Beis Hillel does agree, he's the author of our Mishnah. So Amru Lam, Beis Hillel challenges Beis Shammai, says to them, Iyatem Odim, going on to Amru Beis now, do you not agree to me? Shemarvin le Gadol b'yom HaKippurim. So let's say Yom Kippur, you want to go somewhere. So you set up a Suda before Yom Kippur. You set up two Shtei Suda, so you could travel Erev Tchumim on Yom Kippur. Now, wait a second. Yom Kippur, it's also for us to eat. So do we not see that just because it's, even though it's also to the Gadol, it's Mutter to the Katan, so it's allowed to set up an Erev Tchumim, so too, although the Nazir can have the wine, and he could give it to his friend to have the wine. Just like Yisrael can have the Chuma, he could give it to a Kohen to have a Chuma. So you'll certainly agree with Yom Kippur, you can set up Erev Tchumim. The Gemara is talking about Erev Tchumim for Yom Kippur all the time, so clearly you're allowed to extend it to beyond the person who's actually making the Erev. Just look at Rashi to put this together. Rashi says, Shema'arvin legadol lemishu gadol shevishtei saros shechai be'inoy. A person who's a gadol certainly has to keep all the five inumi of Kippur, including in it is Isser eating. V'yafa gav dilamacha lochazilei, even though tomorrow he can't eat the shtei sudos, hol v'chazile katan sheino bar onshin, it's fit for a katan who's not subject to any punishment of eating Yom Kippur. So since it's fit to a katan, it works for me as well. So too, since the yayin is fit for some other guy, it's fit for the nazir too. So that's what the Gemara's challenge Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai. One interesting point here, the Gemara points out that the katan is lav ein bar onshin. He's not subject to the punishments of Yom Kippur. It implies like there might be an isra achila for the katan, he's just pater from the punishments. Well, others say that katan's completely exempt from eating Yom Kippur. So it happens to be a very interesting chakir raised by the Achronim. They want to know, in particular, the Marcheshes asks the following question. What's the reason why a katan's allowed to eat in Yom Kippur? Is it because there's no isra achila for him? Or is it because of Bekuach Nefesh? A katan, if he fasts, is very dangerous for him. So is it because of Bekuach Nefesh that he eats? Or is it because there's no Issa Achila in Yom Kippur? Well, so he proves it must be because there's no isha achila. It can't be because of pikuach nefesh. Why? Because if it were to be pikuach nefesh, that's why katan's allowed to eat in Yom Kippur. So then you're allowed to, you should be able to make an erev with trey food, right? Because a person who's sick, you could feed a person with pikuach nefesh trey food. So just like if we say the Yom Kippur food is roi for a katan who's pikuach nefesh, so to any food in the world, nevela chefa is also roi. If there's a guy who's a pikuach nefesh summer, he needs a chef food, he could eat it. So we should say any food should be allowed to set up an erev tchumim. The fact that we don't say that must be that the only reason why a katan can eat in Yom Kippur is not because of pikuach nefesh. It's because he has no isra chila. And so once he's allowed to eat in Yom Kippur, lechad chila, memele, since it's chazi lehim, it's chazi even to the gadol to use as a... Another interesting question, by the way, that comes up is the following. What happens if you want to make Erev Tchumim on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos, Erev Pesach? So we want to use a matzah. So we know you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So now I set up for Friday, I set up an Erev Tchumim using matzah, but now Shabbos itself, I can't eat the matzah if I wanted to because it's now Erev Pesach and there's Isser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Are you allowed to eat it? And the Chelkis Yaakov says, since a katan would be allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, since it's roi for the katan to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, it's roi for me as the gadol to use it as Erev Tchumim, even though I can't actually eat it. So to your point, you don't need to actually eat it, just to be roi to someone to be eating. Matzah shir, that could be another way around it also. Fine, the Gemara now says, back inside, let's finish this daf, because we are running out of time. Wow, sorry, we are behind. So Gemara now says, Amru Lehe in the top line here, Aval, Beis Hillel says, you're correct, 100% correct, that in Yom Kippur, you can make an Erev Tchumim, since it's roi for the Katan, it's roi for the Gadol. But Amru Lehem, well, Kishem Shemarvin LeGadol B'Yom HaKippurim, just like you can make an Erev Tchumim for a Gadol, Kach Marvin LeNazir B'Yayin, Uli Yisrael B'Chumah. So too, by extension, a Yayin could work for a Nazir and Chumah for Yisrael. Ube Shamei Hasam Ikasuda Harui Mibod Yom. Hacha Lekasuda Harui Mibod Yom. There's a big distinction. Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur, I was able to eat the food. It was right to me, that Suda, on every Yom Kippur. Granted, Yom Kippur itself, I can't eat it for technicality, but every Yom Kippur is right. But as a Nazir, the wine isn't right to me at all. As a Yisrael, the Chuma isn't right to me at all, and therefore, he doesn't agree that you can use the Chuma and Yayin for Erev Tchumim, although he does agree by Yom Kippur. So Gemara now wants to know, Kiman, who does it hold like? Delo kechananya. Can't be like Chananya. Who's Chananya? Desanya. Chananya omer kol atzmo, atzman shebeis shamay, lohayu modim beiriv, ad sheyotzi mitaso, v'chol kli tashmisho l'sham. Chananya's understanding of Beis Shammai was that in order to set up an eriv, it's not enough to make two meals. Forget about yain and shuma for a nazir and yisrael. You need to take out everything you need. You need to take out all your kalim. You need to bring out plates and forks and knives and spoons. If you just have put like two pieces of bread there, if you don't have the proper utensils and that which is needed, that will not work. You need to take all kol kli tashmisho that's needed for that particular meal. That's Chananya's understanding. So Gemara now, after establishing this position of Chananya, that kol tashmisho is necessary, kiman ozla hadatanya, who was the author of the following brisa? That says, Erev b'shchorim l'yatzeb l'veinim. If a guy sets up an Erev for dark clothing, for black clothing, and so he's not allowed to wear white clothing, because white clothing was not included in the Erev Tchumim of walking outside with white clothing. B'leveinim, if he had set up the Erev Tchumim for the white clothing, l'yatzeb b'shchorim, you can't use black clothing. So come on, who holds this b'rais that the Erev Tchumim affects the clothing? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chananya, he must be Chananya, Valiba the Beis Shammai, because he holds that's not enough to make Erev Tchumim on the food and you yourself. You have to include kol tashmisho, all the different things you want to bring with you have to be included in that Erev Tchumim. So the Gemara says, Ul Chananya himself, Bishchorim hu dula yatza, habaveinim yatza, but wait a second. Granted, Chananya says, you can't bring out the black clothing because your das was only in the white clothing, but even the white clothing, Bahamar Achiyotzi Mitaso Vakli Mitashmisho Lasham, doesn't he say that you have to set up an Erev Tchumim not only using food, but you need to bring your bed out there, your bench out there, your chair out there, the utensils, the knives, the fork, the spoons, anything? So it wasn't enough to simply set up a small Erev. So Gemara says, no, Eina Chanami. Hachi Kamar. Erev bilevenim v'hutrach l'shchorim. If you made an erev, using your levenim, and you also need shchorim, which means that you didn't bring all the kalim that were necessary. Af bilevenim lo yatzu, you can't even go out with your levenim. Meaning the only time Chanani allows you to set up an erev is if the erev tchumim includes all kli tashmisho that you plan to use on Shabbos. But the moment you plan to use something else, that means your entire erev in the first place doesn't work, even on that which you had in mind in the first place. So either way, Hanani has a very, very stringent opinion position on setting up an Eir of Tchumim. So the Gemara then says, come on, who is this? Who offered this? It must be, again, Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chananyahi Valiba de Beis Shammai, who has, again, a very, very stringent position on what's needed to set up an Eir of Tchumim. So Gemara now says, Sumchas Omer Bechulim. Someplace argued, and he said that a Yisrael cannot use a Chuma to set up an Eir of Tchumim because he cannot eat Chuma. Only Chulin works for a person. So we see that only that which is roy to you that you could actually eat can be used to establish an Eir of Tchumim. So Gemara is now Medayik, Vilu Lenazir B'Yayin Lepalik. So why didn't Simchas argue by the case of Yayin B'Nazir? He should have said a Nazir couldn't use Yayin either. Just like a Yisrael can't use Chuma, he should have said a Nazir can't use Yayin as Eir of Tchumim. So the Gemara says, my taima, what's the reason he didn't argue by the case of the Nazir and Yayin? Because efshir the mishal anizirusa, because you could always do a sheil on the Nazir. If you took a Nazir upon yourself, which is a form of a nether, you could always go to a Tam Chacham and have it undone and be matir the nether, so you could do away with it. So the Gemara says, therefore, even a Nazir is right to drink wine, because if he wanted to undo the Nazir, he could drink the wine. But Chuma, you can't undo Chuma. And Chuma is the asr for Yisrael. Gemara says, what do you mean? Ihachi? Chuma nami efshar de mitshal ilave. You could also undo chuma. There's a way to retract on the chuma. So the Gemara says and say I could do some type of atarsadarm. And when I set aside as chuma, that's no longer chuma. Well, the Gemara says, well, e mitshal Allah. If you undo the chuma, that fruit goes back to being tevel. In other words, what happens is if I am a farmer, I have fruit. If I didn't separate chuma yet, that fruit is tevel. Tevel is also for everyone to eat. Now, when I separate chuma to set aside for Kohen, so that's chuma, and the rest of the pile is mutter. But the moment I undo the chuma, that chuma now becomes part of my fruit pile, and the fruit pile is tevel, it's also to me either way. If I'm Yisrael, I can't eat chuma. If I'm Yisrael, I can't eat tevel. So what good does it do undoing the chuma? It just falls back to being tevel, which I can't eat anyways. So the Gemara says, "Ulifer shalai mimakam acher." What I can do is I could undo it, and then becomes tevel, but I could still separate the chuma. So in other words, if I have chuma in front of me, I want to undo it. So I undo the chuma, it becomes tevel, part of the pile in my backyard. So now the Gemara suggests, why don't I just mafish chuma on my pile and say, okay, chuma in my field, that's chuma, and now longer tevel, and this becomes mutter to me. So there's a concept that I could undo chuma even though it's not in front of me. Right, just to be clear. Right now there's chuma in front of me, and there's a pile of fruit in my backyard. I have a sheila, I undo my chuma, so now it's tevel, along with the other tevel in my backyard. So I say in my mind, let the fruit in my backyard, let that be chuma, and now it undoes the tevel, and the fruit in front of me is now mutter for me to eat, because I did the chuma from wherever the chuma is. And the Gemara says, no, that doesn't, even though it works, in the end of the day, lo nechshetu chaveirim lichum shlomin amukaf. Amukaf is, we spoke about, hukaf ladira, when it's surrounding. Ideally, without getting into the details, the way a person separates chuma, it really should all be present. You really should have all the food in front of you and separate the chuma. To have to separate chuma when you're not with the rest of the pile is very bidyevet. So we're not nechsha people to separate chuma when they're not present, when the food are not all together. So granted it would work, but we would not recommend it, and therefore we're not assuming the person's trying to accomplish that. So then the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we do the following? Lifrosh Allah minayu bay. So why don't we say the fruit that's in front of me, right? The fruit in front of me was chuma. Let me do a sheila, undo the chuma. So now it's tevel. So now what I should do is take the fruit in front of me, separate two things of fruit, and from, let's say, I have 10 fruit in front of me. Take two fruit away, and now that will be chuma, and the other 8 will be mutter. So why can't I separate? Why have I got to go to the fruit in my backyard? Why not the fruit in front of me? And the Gemara says the problem is the less base shear. There's not a proper shear for a fruit here. There's one apple here, and it doesn't work for the separation of chuma. I'm stuck in a situation here, so that's the situation. But if I were to have chuma in front of me, a big pile of chuma, einachanami, I could undo the chuma, I could separate chuma, undo the tevel, I'd be able to eat it. We're talking about a very, very small situation with a tiny fruit here where I can't take the proper size of the shesuda. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi is the less base shear. Meaning, if I take chuma from whatever fruit's in front of me, I won't have the mazon of shtei sudos necessary in order to accomplish the suda for the Eir of Tchumim. So Gemara says, "My paska." Gemara says, Rashi says, you have a whole case just for one tiny example. Right? The only time that in essence Simcha says that you can't make use chuma for Eir of Tchumim is only when I have exactly two sudos in front of me. That's the small example that Simchas is talking about. Simchas seems to be talking about across the board, you can never use chuma for Eir of Tchumim. Why are you having such a tiny case here? So the Gemara says, no, really the reason why Sumcha says you can't use Chuma as Erev Tchumim is for the following reason. El Sumcha Savrla Krabban. He holds like Rabbanim. Damri Kol Davar Shumishum Shvus Gazrolav Ben Hashmashus. What's the problem here? Problem of Chuma here is that in order to undo the Chuma and then to separate Chuma a second time, that's a violation of Tikkun Mana. I can't mafresh Chuma on Shabbos. That's called Tikkun Mana. I'm fixing it. I've got Tevel. I'm mafresh Chuma. That's Tikkun Mana. That's fixing my pile of fruit here. That's an Issur Derabanan. That's a Shavuos. I can't do that on Shabbos. So since when Shabbos had begun, so there's a klal where I could do Shavuos Ben HaShemashos. Right? We try to figure out the definition of something of Erev Tchumim Ben HaShemashos. So Ben HaShemashos, Rabbi Elazar, Rabban hold, I cannot separate Chuma on Shabbos. Even Ben HaShemashos, I can't do it. So since to talk about a theoretical case of being mafresh Chuma on Shabbos, that's not a fair point because you can't do this on Shabbos, and therefore, says Sumchas, you're not allowed to use Chuma as Erev Tchumim. So Gemara now says, Keman Ozla Haditzan, who is the author of the following Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Yesh Shamu Akolafi Mashu Adam. There are those who say that everything goes based on the size of a person. What that means is, in terms of measuring different things, so the Mishnah says that Melo Kumso HaMincha. When it comes to the size of a Kohen, so when a Kohen scoops up some of the flour, it goes based on the size of the Adam, the Kohen. Melo Chafnav, when the Kohen Gadol is getting together the Torahs for Yom Kippurim, it goes based on his hand sizes. HaShosim Melo Lugma B'Yom HaKippurim, a person needs to drink something on Yom Kippur, depends on his cheek size. Uven Mazon Shtei Sudos La'Erev, when it comes to the size of Shtei Sudos, it depends on what he eats, his type of eating. It doesn't go based on some objective shear. So this is a list of a few things, and it's all very subjective. So the Gemara says, "Kiman, who holds this way? Amar Rebbe Zeira, it must be Sumchasi. What do you mean Sumchas? Damar Mai Dechazilei Ba'inan. Because Sumchas is the one who holds that Yisrael cannot use Chuma because it's not right to him. I don't care that it's right to someone else, it needs to be right to him. So just like he says, in terms of what a person makes an Erev Tchumim must be right to the person, also in terms of the size must be right to the person. So the definition of Shtei Sudas is based on what that person would eat, his size, not the average person. So the Gemara then says, Lema pliga ad Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Let's say that Sumchas, and this Braisa argues on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Desanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ma'arvin l'chola u'lezakein k'dei mizono. When it comes to a chola and a zakein, they eat very little. So how big of a erev tchum do you need for a chola and a zakein? Tiny, whatever they eat. Even though the average guy eats two pieces of bread, a chola will eat a half of bread, that would be big enough. So we see that he holds, it's an average, it goes based, it's subjective. However, Ul Rav's son, the guy who eats a tremendous amount, Mesuda, Beinonis Shokoladam. We don't say the big guy who eats eight slices of pizza, he needs a lot of bread, he needs a whole loaf of bread. No, we go based on Adam Beinoni. So clearly, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says you go based on an objective shear, while Sumchas holds you go based on a subjective shear, so there is a machlokas. And the Gemara says, no. He says, the Targuma Achol of a Zakin. The Chol and Zakin, they go based on Adam. They go based on what they actually eat. It's subjective. Ava Ravasan, Bada Daito Etok Adam. When it comes to a person who eats a lot, his das is batel, the gabi everyone else. In other words, he also agrees it's very subjective. But when the guy eats so much, sometimes we have to say that das is a das yachid, and we could completely ignore his position. And let's finish with this. We'll get to the two das, and we'll stop. The Gemara then says, Ula Kohen, Bebes HaPras. We said a Kohen, it could step an Erev Tchum in a Bebes HaPras. A Bebes HaPras is an area of a base cross that had been plowed over. So, Damar Rav Yehuda, Damar Shmuel, Mnafeach Adam, Beis HaPras V'Holech. What you could do is, what's the concern of Beis HaPras? You might step on a bone. So you could blow your way through the path, and any bones you kind of move out of the way, and there's no concern. That's how a person can navigate through Beis HaPras, and therefore a Kohen could even step an Erev Tchumim in a Beis HaPras. But Rav Yehuda Bar Ami, Mishmei de Rav Yehuda, Amar, Beis HaPras, Shinidosh Tar. He actually says, L'chachilo, once it's been plowed, and then once it's been trampled over, we assume there are no bones big enough to be Matami the Kohen, and that's the situation where you're allowed to walk in. So there are two avenues. Either you could blow your way through to blow away any of the bones, or if it's already been trampled on, we assume there are no bones big enough to be Matami a person. Amir Tzashem will continue tomorrow, longer daf than I thought, and everyone have a wonderful day.